we should go and sit there and wait the minute till we're supposed to start the show.
So okay, like it is that time now.
Clock
literally
shit.
Just rolled over.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is.
God damn it!
It is recording time now.
God damn it! Our union contract just stated we got to work. Fuck.
We don't have a union. Storm, please tell me, what union is this that you're talking to? There is no union. There's three of us. And as far as I know, Fleeks isn't part of this union. I'm not part of this union. The union is you. So you're making up your own contracts.
Bullshit. The union is the union of me, myself, and I. And it's called the Burdanian Radio Workers Union, Local 1. And I happen to be the union president.
So
we all are members.
You are essentially imposing your own laws upon yourself and then complaining about them.
Exactly.
I imagine Storm sitting there on his desk, having a paper and writing on it every time he does something like, I'm hungry. No, at this time, Storm gets lunch. And then he gets stamped by secretary and stuff.
And secretary is just sitting there like, this isn't even my job. Why are you making me stamp this stuff? This isn't even the official seal.
It already started when he was a hatchling, when his mother said, like, you're grounded. Then he went to his room, made a contract. Where
he unionized against his mom.
Yeah, like that's Storm just, can't be grounded. Yeah, it's written here.
That's just his own like self-defense mechanism. Like some people like, you know, just like seek out solace. Some people like get angry. No, Storm makes union contracts.
That's right. I'm totally going with this. This is totally me right here. If you need a union, give me a call. I'll hook you up.
Not to mention he is his own like employer in real life. So like, you can't unionize against yourself. That's not...
There's no rule.
Oh, no.
I cannot have a union.
Oh, no. I work for this guy. He's really cool, but he has a union. Wait, your boss has a union? Yes. Against who? Against himself. Oh, okay.
Hey, when you work for me, you get the best compensation plan. I can tell you that. You get all the vacation time you want off. It's great.
And anytime you complain, you just take it up with your union representative, a.k.a. yourself, right then and there.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And then you sit there and argue in front of yourself, in front of your clients, and like, what the hell is the matter with this guy? Why am I doing business here?
And Core, I am going to file a union grievance against you. So I look forward to seeing you in the union meeting. And we're going to have an independent moderator handle this union meeting. And I can assure you he will be very fair for all Griffins involved.
Is it mandatory for me to attend?
Of course.
What are the consequences if I don't?
If you do not attend, then I'll have to increase the number of bird poop jokes.
I could just fire you.
You could fire me. You could fire me from a show I own a third of. Yes, I'm sure that would work very well.
I would just need majority vote here. Hey, Fleeks, do you want more poop jokes or less poop jokes?
Can we have a median, like something in between?
Really?
like in status quo of poop jokes. Like sometimes you can bring them if nobody expects them. And
sure. This is episode 32 of Bird Life. I'm Core Raven.
Episode...
I'm interrupting Fleeks. Constantly.
I'm sorry, I wanted to comment on that.
And I am Storm the Union Griffin. Oh, to go ahead and apologize to everyone listening to the show right now, because everything you just heard was clearly a breach of some union contract they forgot they signed.
Okay, let's put in the contract, do not interrupt Core. And since you asked it beforehand, our topic today is fandoms and communities. We are talking about fandoms and communities.
And there are a wide variety of them within Birdania and the furry fandom in general. Some of them are more well-known than others, and some of them are more interesting than others and borderline controversial, such as Otherkin and Therian. So it's going to be an interesting chat.
Is this the episode I get to complain about anime weebs?
Yeah.
Yes.
Woo! This is going to be the best episode ever.
And, I think we do not need to talk about the furry fandom itself, because we talked a lot about it already, and we want to take a tiny look at other fandoms, like the anime fandom, like you mentioned, the, for example, gaming community, the BDSM community, or the mermaid fandom. The mermaid fandom, yes.
Run that by me one more time.
There's also the fairies. And no, they're not the gay community. There are people who legitimately believe they're fairies. Star children. We can talk about star children. And let me just kind of circle back really quick. Anime thing. Like, okay, so I just want to put it out there right now, early on. I actually don't have anything against, like, anime. Not really an active watcher myself. I do want to complain about one aspect of the anime subculture that kind of like invaded anime subculture, as it were, and kind of like stuck their claim there, and that's the Homestuck. Yes.
Homestuck.
Okay, so I do want to take a moment to complain about Homestuck and how awful and toxic their community is, and how horrible it is that they've like invaded the already like outcast-ish like anime community. Like, one step forward, two steps back, guys. Seriously, back off.
Why?
I don't have a lot of experience with Homestuck as the comic or the game itself. From what I've heard, it actually has, like, a pretty decent storyline to it. However, it has this huge amassed this huge following of people. And they are not well-behaved.
Okay. Not well behaved in terms of online or at conventions?
Conventions, usually. I can give you my firsthand experience with what I've had from them. So, having never previously heard about Homestuck, I attended an anime convention a couple of years ago. And, like, all over this convention, there were, like, these people in, like, gray face with, like, you know, the pasty makeup on, and they had, like, horns sticking out of their head, and they were, like, orange, white, and yellow, or even orange, black, and yellow. So it was, like, all these, like, you know, weird demon-looking things. Like, it was like, okay, so they have horns that look like candy. They must be candy corn demons. I'm going to call them candy corn demons. Okay. So I went up to one of them and was like, so what is this all about? Why are there so many people, like, in gray face and dressed like candy corn demons? They did not like that. They did not like being called that at all. Word spread so fast throughout that entire convention among all of these candy corn demons that, like, I had called them this. And every single time I passed by one, like, someone would, like, reach out and slap me, like, in the hall. Not in the face, like, usually along the shoulders or something, but they would, like, hit me or, like, glare at me. Like, I got the death glare for the rest of that convention. And at first I thought it was like, okay, I just fell into some really bad running joke. And I, like, started talking to a friend of mine who was a con chair for that anime convention. And she was like, no, they're the worst. If we could get rid of them, we would, because they just actively harass other people who don't get on board with their comic. And it's like, why? Why is this like why is this like community like invading this? It has nothing to do with actual anime. And they were like, even though like none of them physically hurt me by slapping me, that's assault. Like, that, like, straight up, yes. Like, if I wasn't, like, thinking, oh, they're being playful about it until learning afterwards, like, I would be like, dude, that was fucking assault. So, yeah, that's my little soapbox on these candy corn demons that I have a problem with now.
And the candy corn demons are officially called, so everyone knows, once again. What are they officially called again?
The, like, Homestuck fans.
Okay.
The Homestuck and family. I'm not saying, you know, like it's every community has its element of bad, weirdo kind of things, but it seems to be especially pervasive in this community. So that's kind of why I want to put that out there. I don't know why they invaded the anime fandom.
I have absolutely no experience with Homestuck fans or something. And I did not. I started to read that comic, but it did not really catch my attention. And I mostly read it because I heard that. How was he called? The inventor of Undertale, Toby Fox.
Right.
That he wrote a song, that Megalovania he wrote for Homestuck, for example. And I don't know. I heard something about that. And
there's some correlation there that I myself am familiar with, but I've heard of it as well. Yeah. From what I understand, Toby Fox doesn't really have anything else to do with Homestuck other than the fact that, you know, he made this song because they asked him to or something.
Okay, cool. Cool. So, but to the anime fandom in general, I actually enjoy watching anime a lot, but I'm not really in their fandom or any. I never was in the fandom. I know that my ex-girlfriend was kinda in it, but more in that pairing and shipping community where they.
Oh, God.
Yaoi, you know? Yaoi, well, where they. Where they ship like two male characters, and she was deep into the FMA fandom.
The yaoi and yuri kind of stuff?
Yeah, yaoi. If
can we just agree for a moment that, furries have some interesting aspects to our fandom, but some of the shit that goes on in the anime fandom makes furries seem like tame, civilized, nice people that never have seen anything weird in their lives. Because the shit that goes on at these big anime cons, oh my god.
Our community in general, in like very loosely, is a more mature community. We have like older people in it, while anime community is very much so targeted at, you know, like 20 and under.
Yeah, and the anime fandom also splits into the whole sub. Communities for the shows, you know. Like I said, my ex-girlfriend was deep into the FMA fandom, and she shipped two male characters, and I think they even were some kind of brothers or stuff. And she was upset.
A lot of fanfiction in her past.
Yeah, a lot of fanfiction. Oh my god. And doujinshis are fan comics, fan mangas. I don't know if anime or manga fan appreciates if I call a manga comic. I don't know.
One of my ex-girlfriends was also, I don't think she was like into the whole shipping thing, but she was definitely kind of into that element of like yaoi kind of thing. A very big fan of Ouran Host Club. And she kind of made me watch it. I was mostly unimpressed with it. I was like, okay, well, it's like just an anime about yaoi. Like, except they never actually bone down. Like, what's the point?
Storm, what's your experience with anime and manga?
Well, my experience with anime, basically, I do like... And I don't remember the names very well, but I do like occasionally watching an anime that happens to be on TV or YouTube if a friend recommends it. But the con itself, they tend to really get into it in a way that I've only seen a small percentage of furries get into the furry cons when they go and suit up and, you know, walk around in their mascot costume. And they definitely are a younger fan base. For the most part, and they just they get very opinionated very quickly because they're so passionate.
As the young tend to do.
Yes. As, you know, as to which show's the best or what they enjoy the most or who has the best writing, etc. So definitely a very, very engaged community. But the biggest difference of all is just they're fucking huge. The anime conventions make the biggest furry con we have right now, which is, I think, AC, but that's about to be, you know, going by way of the Dodo for either MFF or BLFC. they're going to make those cons look tiny compared to some of these anime cons. Crazy.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the anime and let's could call it otaku fandom, even I heard that they do not like to be called otaku. But to sum it up.
If you're doing something that warrants you getting called an otaku, you're probably an otaku. Just put that out there.
Yeah. I mean, what do you want to say? They are widespread because there are like thousands of anime series and even more manga. And it also correlates a lot with all those Japan fans. And but a lot of Japan fans are more like, I don't know, they are not really interested in the whole culture of Japan, just in this stereotype anime and manga Japan, I guess.
I can see where that's coming from. So I used to watch, you know, anime, like quite a few, not quite a few, but I used to watch some series here now and then. And like my friends in high school were really into, they have like the half mask Bleach. Fuck. My friends were really into Bleach. So like I read the mangas and I kind of watched it. Like, it was okay. I never really got into it the level they did. But there were a few that I really, really liked. And there's like a couple that I still, well, one's ended, but I still keep up with one other one that's going on. One Punch Man.
One Punch Man was good. Yeah.
I adore One Punch Man. I can't wait for the next season. There's just something really satisfying about how it has like this level of introspection of just like, boom, they're dead. Like that's all there is to it.
Oh, I personally watched through the whole Naruto thing, and I'm also still a follower of the manga of One Piece, for example. Nice. Like One Piece grew, I get the feeling like it grew with me, you know what I mean? Because it's so old now, it's so long, and it continues.
You see, I get that, but at the same time, I had that for Harry Potter.
Yep.
Oh, Harry Potter was great.
I grew up with Harry Potter. I remember reading the first book in fifth grade in elementary school.
Harry Potter
for me too. Fourth grade, probably.
I'm sure Harry Potter has a fandom too.
Oh, guaranteed.
Yes.
Huge fandom with fan fictions and stuff. Did you know that they also produce a fan movie that was backed by Kickstarter?
How did they get away with that? I'm curious.
They agreed with Warner Brothers somehow.
Wait,
I don't know.
Warner Brothers they actually to... agreed? Okay, sure.
Maybe they agreed not to make money on it or something.
Yeah, yeah. No money, then it's okay. Fan product is okay. And it's actually, they do the story of... how is Voldemort called? Riddley something. I don't know.
Riddler?
I forgot it. Tom Riddler. Yeah, thank you.
Tom Riddle. Sorry, not Riddler. Yeah, Riddler's from Batman.
Tom Riddle. And they want to make their fan fiction about the youth of Tom Riddle.
Nice.
Okay. I could see that.
Before we jump on to the next subject really quick, I would like to give a shout out to one anime that it's ended, but you can get it, like all of it on YouTube, and it is fucking phenomenal. It's called Ghost Stories. And the thing behind this anime is like its plot and everything was just so weak and so stupid and like brain meltingly bad that when it made it over here to America and the, you know, the people who like to dub these things got a hold of it, they were just like, this sucks. This is horrible. So instead they just decided to ad lib the entire series. And it is the fucking funniest thing in the world. It was so funny, in fact, that the original studio that had it brought it back over with the American dubs and redubbed it into Japanese and then released it again.
That is some fucking dedication right there.
Oh, man.
So go watch, like, go check just the first episode. If you want to sit down and watch, like, the first episode, oh, you, it is the funniest thing I have ever seen to date.
By the way, if you liked One Punch Man, then you will also like Mob Psycho 100. You should watch this anime. It's also with a main character who's super overpowered in the creation of Mob Psycho. I don't know how much, but yeah, you notice it. You should watch it if you want to watch a crazy anime that is fun to watch, actually.
Okay.
Mob Psycho 100.
We'll totally look into that.
So what's another fandom we can harp on a little bit now?
What is this mermaid thing? I'm sorry. Someone said a mermaid con, and it's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Okay. I read up about it because actually, who taught me about it originally was Sable Griffin.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
In the test episode, we talked about it in a test episode we made to test in the recording program, and actually, it's a fandom that has a very, very big interest in mermaids, and especially in mermaid costuming, and that's practically some subgenre of that whole fantasy cosplay thing, and those costumes, according to Wikipedia, are typically designed to be used while swimming.
Right.
And this thing is actually the swimming in those mermaid suits is active. This activity is known as mermaiding.
Do they get upset at you if you call them a dugong?
I don't know
or
what
a manatee.
Is.
Oh, really, Cor?
I'm sorry. Low blow. I'm sorry. I'm better than that. Okay,
I did not understand it, so you're lucky.
I think, you know, we may have had some introduction into this fandom in the past. If you've ever watched, I think it's like 1,000 Ways to Die. There was someone who put on a full-body mermaid costume, and it was like a skin-tight latex thing, so they couldn't really move their arms around in it for some reason. I don't know why they would include their arms in the costume, but they got into the water, swam around, and had fun, and then realized they were overheating, tried to get out of the water, and got themselves kind of like beached on the side of their pool. And then they couldn't get out of their suit, and they baked alive in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That were sounds... they saved?
Nope. There's 1,000 Ways to Die.
Oh.
Can you imagine being the police officer that showed up and saw some dude baked in a mermaid costume? How the hell do you put that in a report? That's got to be the most interesting police report you've ever written in your whole fucking career.
Oh, no doubt.
I bet on mermaid cons, actually mermaid fandom conventions also have been held, and I bet they have like fursuiters in the furry fandom have spotters. They
oh my god.
Yeah, they have spotters and stuff too, safety measures and stuff.
Well, I think if you're going to be like flip-flopping around, you're going to need someone to spot you.
But a question... Imagine you would be part of the mermaid fandom. What would be your mermaid sona? What kind of fish? What kind of fish would be your lower half?
that's an interesting question. What
Stingray.
Kind of fish would be your lower half, Fleeks?
I already said it once. No, I did not cut it out. yeah, I probably would be something like an eel because
an eel.
I don't know. Yeah.
Like an electric eel or just like one of the like
an electric eel
ones?
Would be cool.
Like a moray eel? Like
more that would be cool too. Like something you know, something edgy, you know, not like
something
the
edgy.
God. I think my lower half would be probably a male dolphin.
I would be a feral stingray. That's all I can say.
But a male dolphin isn't a fish.
Well, fuck it. I'm making up these rules.
Okay. Can we ask somebody from the mermaid fandom if dolphins are allowed?
Hey, write us and tell us how much we offended you at beep at bird.life.
Don't hold back anything, because Lord knows we won't.
And we'll read it live on air.
That's shout out to Saber Griffin, who showed that awesome fandom to me.
Oh, God. So, what other fandoms you guys know about that you find interesting?
Interesting, I don't know, but the whole gaming community is a thing.
It is very disconnected, in my experience.
Very disconnected, highly opinionated, and either borderline hyper-competitive on the one end and just downright immature on the other.
Let's go to, for example, to those Five Nights at Freddy's fans.
Ooh, we're just going to go right for the bottom of the barrel.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, when this was a huge thing, and still, they are swamping, like the Brony fandom, but we will talk about the Brony fandom later. They swamped Furfinity and E621 and whatever furry art site. They swamped it with their crappy fan art. It was so horrible.
You know what? I'm totally okay if you have good porn of like a Chica or Foxy. I'm down with that. Keep it coming.
But good porn. Good. You know, the penis must actually look like a penis and not like a pencil that's somehow been attached to a machine. No.
Honestly, I really enjoyed the heck out of Five Nights at Freddy's. Like, just about every single one. The last one it was definitely different, and, like, it was still good and still a good game, but, like, it just didn't have the same feeling as the first three. I really did enjoy Five Nights at Freddy's. I enjoyed watching playthroughs of it. I enjoyed quite a few aspects of it, but the community, I would not touch that with a 1,000-foot pole. Like, I avoided the little fans and, you know, the kids, like the plague itself.
I mean, for some time, they were like plaguing the internet with everything Five Nights at Freddy's related. Like a series that if you said something against the game, they were like, no, this is the best game ever made and stuff. And, you know.
If you are a completionist, it provided a lot of challenge. But if you were just in it for the story, it provided a lot of challenge. Like, it was a pretty satisfying game to play.
Yeah,
Simple,
I know.
Very satisfying.
I never really played it, but I would be interested what the fuss is all about, you know. I can only talk about what I experienced on YouTube, especially in the comments and stuff. And on.
Why?
Do you guys know they're making that into like a movie, right?
I've heard that. I've seen some development on it, but like it's been like hushed. Like, I haven't heard about anything in about a year now.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Hollywood just, you know, doesn't drop that in our laps.
It was an independent studio, from what I remember.
Okay. So more or less a crappy fan movie, probably. Or do they put it forward
in it? No, it's independent studio, but it's supposed to be a proper movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a theatrical release is what they're aiming for. Yeah. Funded and everything. Let's move up to the greater gaming fandom a little bit.
Yeah.
More.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's not the greater fandom. That's another diversion.
I know how much you like Hedgehog Cock, but how the hell is that the greater fandom, please?
Seriously. I don't know, I just wanted to put in Sonic fandom.
Fair enough, okay, well, we'll touch on it for a second. And, there's a YouTuber I watch called Donkey, and he kind of gave, like, the fandom itself a bit of a shout-out, because, like, that fandom has been betrayed time and time again with, like, every release since, like, Sonic 3. Like, after that, like, Sonic series just started sucking. And like,
pretty much,
there are some true diehard fans, some really weird diehard fans also, but like some really true fans of the series. And with the new Sonic, what the hell is the name of the Sonic game? Sonic Generations? I'm going to Google this really quick.
I don't know. But while you're Googling, I want to state that those crappy Sonic games, that 3D things like Sonic Adventure and whatever came out, they make extremely good speedrunning games, extremely entertaining on HD. Awesome Games Done Quick. Awesome Games Done Quick. Do you know Awesome Games Done Quick?
No, haven't watched them.
That's a marathon. That's a marathon where speedrunners speedrun games from your childhood, more or less. And it's awesome to watch. And I think like the Sonic games, especially the super buggy ones, were so entertaining to watch so far. And I can't wait for Summer Games Done Quick.
I've seen a few speedruns, but not, I don't think specifically by them. I don't remember the name of the Sonic game, but it's one that's either it's recently released or about to be released. But from what I understand from, you know, the playtesting, it really holds true to like the classic Sonic series, kind of brings that back to life, and the fan base is going to go wild again. I guarantee it. We're going to see a ton of Sonic stuff just like in the next few months. So buckle up.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Now moving up to the greater gaming community.
Oh, so, you know, Super Mario.
Oh, Undertale! Mario
Brothers. Just kidding. Nintendo, clearly. You know, let's talk about the classic.
Well, it is especially applicable because E3 just, you know, is wrapping up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, just in my experience, because I'm a gamer. I've dabbled in kind of like some of the major league gaming, I want to say. Like I've competed. I've been to tournaments for Smash Bros, for Mario Kart, for Pokemon, and you know, when you're in these little niche pockets, you know, like the Smash Bros, they're very competitive. Like people who are in the Smash Bros community, like they're competitive and they butt heads, but it's like in a friendly sort of way. Like there's no hostility. There's kind of a nice bro-hood to it. Can't say the same for Mario Kart. People who competitively play Mario Kart hate each other. And you can't blame them because Mario Kart, like, it gets cheap and it gets bad and it gets evil. Like,
Mario Kart's it's vindictive. Mario Kart will destroy friendships. I'm just telling you that right now. If you take it too seriously.
Yeah. And then circling back to like the Pokemon, like, you know, competing in tournaments there. That is a very akin to like chess players and chess clubs. They're so strategic about like how they select their teams and like, you know, who they pick on it. And like I myself have done, I'll put in countless hours of research on Smogon University just to pick the right Pokemon to compete in, like, and to know who I was going to go against, kind of thing. So it gets like mathematically strategic at times.
In my opinion, one of the most amazing Nintendo sub fandoms is Mario Maker. Like, they have like every Sunday and every Friday, they have some kind of Kaizo run. For the ones who do not know it, Kaizo Mario is practically for normal people unbeatable.
Ooh, right.
Mario. With channel jumps and P drops and whatever. Oh my god, wall jumps you can normally can't do, but you can use one frame to jump from a wall and stuff. And they do stuff like that. And that was adapted by the Mario Maker community. They all levels. For casual player at least, and so, then they the best runners compete against each other over Twitch stream or over YouTube stream, and it's very exciting to watch.
So it's like gets to the point of you have like literally one frame that you have to, you know, make a jump or, you know, make a decision.
Yeah.
And that is intense. That is truly intense.
But if you think about it, the Japanese version of a lot of our games for Mario and whatnot is a lot harder, and this just
back in the early 90s. Yeah, I can agree.
Yeah, the Lost Levels of Mario Brothers.
I have that. Yeah, I have. Yeah, I think the Super Blast, Nintendo.
But that thing, oh, I remember when I was young, I got so pissed off at that fucking game. But
yeah,
sad. It's sad Nintendo decided, well, for the American market, we got to dumb it down a bit. You know, the Americans, no.
Well, here's the thing. So I've played Mario 3 on the Game Boy Advance, and I've also played it now on the Super Nintendo. There's a massive difference. Like, the levels are pretty much identical. Like, there's not really, like, much of an update to the game itself, except how it plays. Like, there's something different about it on the Super Nintendo version that made timing and made decision-making so much harder. Like, we were talking about that sun level previously.
Right, yeah.
You play that on the Game Boy Advance, it's pretty easy. All you have to do is kind of just speed through it. On the Super Nintendo, I probably went through like 30 lives trying to do the same damn level.
To the comment that Japanese games are generally harder, that's not entirely true, because a lot of games in Japan are like more less competitive because they have more handicaps and stuff. And in America, it somehow was reduced, like the lives you can get, or some lives weren't positioned. And I know that because they're watching a lot of speedruns, and a lot of people prefer to speedrun the Japanese version because it's easier, for example. And about the controls, it's for the Super Mario Bros. 3 on Game Boy Advance was like the controls were in they made it better. That's the thing.
Yeah, they probably tightened them up quite a bit, but like it felt the same. There was just some different element to it.
Yeah. And probably the frame rate was maybe a bit lower. That can be a reason too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you guys?
They definitely adjust and fiddle with the gameplay every time they re-release it. That's for sure.
Yeah. What are your guys' opinions on Major League Gaming and the tournament? Like, not just tournaments, but like broadcasted, like League of Legends, Dota, and now we're getting to the point where like Rocket League and games like that are starting to get like recognition.
I think it's the future. I really do. I think it's the future. I think my generation and younger is absolutely in with e-gaming. Colleges are setting up e-gaming teams.
Yeah.
And given how connected our generation is, how connected the next generation especially is, e-gaming, I dare say, will become more popular than even physical sports, for
but
better or
do
worse.
Do you think it has an actual place on channels like ESPN?
Yes. And here's why. Let me explain. You know, when you play like baseball or football or whatnot, obviously there's strategy, there's teamwork. You got to work together, and right, there's an element of chance. It's the same thing with e-gaming in the sense that, especially with games like, say, World of Warcraft, where every time they do an update, they change how the game plays. You have to play as a team. You have to constantly work together as a team to accomplish certain goals. So for games where it's team-based and you have to work together to get to that goal, to win the level, to win the game, I think it has a place on TV. Now, for games that it's just, you know, one person against a computer, it could be interesting to watch because everyone has their own strategy.
Well, I mean, we already have Let's Players on YouTube that do that, yeah.
Right, yeah, on YouTube, yeah. But in terms of, like, watching it live on TV, that's the difference for me.
To me, it's uncomfortable. Like, I understand there's a big appeal to it on Twitch and on YouTube. I don't really understand why, like, competitively it needs to be broadcast, because watching it, to me, is boring. And I guess I kind of feel the same way about most physical sports, too. Like, so maybe that's just my personal methodology of it, but like, I don't really, like, I enjoy watching baseball. I don't really enjoy watching basketball or football or anything like that.
Yeah. The only competitions in video games I like to watch is like It's like I said, those speedrun stuff and so, where they like play old games I played in my childhood, and they probably, they break it with glitches to be faster, you know? They run through walls and stuff.
I didn't even know you could do that. Bugs.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm very excited to watch that if a game means a lot to me and stuff. It's like recapitulating your childhood, but they ruin it with taking shortcuts you did not know about because they using glitches and sometimes intended stuff you did not know about. And so, and they also tend to be entertaining while they're doing it, explaining the mechanisms and stuff. That's what I enjoy, but I wouldn't enjoy... I generally do not enjoy ego shooters, first-person shooters and stuff. That's not my world.
Yeah, I'm like CSGO kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, no, not okay. My thing.
Why have you guys on this topic? It just popped in my head, so I'm going to ask. What do you guys think of when they go to re-release a game? Okay, and they have, especially, and it becomes very apparent when they do these like gaming competitions, and right. It's a classic game we all know and love. What is your opinion on companies like Nintendo or whatnot fixing the bugs that were there when the game originally was released for the first time? And as a result, in some aspects, changing gameplay.
Go ahead.
What was the question exactly? I did not fully comprehend it.
For example, using Super Mario Bros. 3, let's say there were bugs in the original Super Nintendo version of Mario Bros. 3, and then when they brought it over onto Game Boy Advance, they got rid of those bugs. Like, they fixed them, they patched them, and they, like... Mm. You can no longer use these like game-breaking take advantage glitches anymore.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on that?
Like missing no and re-release and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. They do that, and if you can't, I mean, I don't need the glitches to have fun, I guess. So, well.
So it just keeps it to the original intended gameplay.
I mean. Some glitches were almost game-breaking, and if they fix them, it's actually an improvement. So,
well, there's a lot of controversy over that, because some believe the game should remain true to its core. And back in the old days, you know, when they made a game on a cartridge, you bought it, and if it had a bug, well, you were stuck with that bug. That's just the way it goes.
And nowadays it's completely the opposite, because we're in an internet-connected society. You buy a game on Steam. And let's say you're buying a game that is post-alpha beta release. Like, it's out. It's official at this point. You're still getting updates. You're still getting patches constantly. For example, and I don't use this for example often, but Call of Duty. Every day there's a patch to Call of Duty. Some bug, some tweak, some element gets added, removed, fixed, patched from Call of Duty every single day. And this is on games that are post-release.
And I think, in my opinion, and then we'll move on, but I think, in my opinion, that almost detracts, because game developers are releasing games now without fully testing them and just refining them as time goes on, whereas back in the old days, because they couldn't...
The indie developments, yeah. There's been quite a few problems with that.
All right. So we've talked about video games and whether esports should be a thing. Got your opinion on it, Core. What about you, Fleeks? What's your opinion on esports in general?
I said it. I said my opinion that I'm not a huge fan of it.
All right. So you don't think it's a sport for real, then?
No, it's nothing that would interest me. Some people may have get entertainment out of it, but I don't know. I'm with Core there, absolutely.
Like, okay. I've openly admitted to saying, hey, I like watching Markiplier, I like Vanoss Gaming. They're funny, they're playing video games that... Okay, for example, Prey was just recently released. I was already looking at getting that game. Like, it looked hella good. And so, like, I watched, like, the first couple episodes of, you know, what Markiplier's playthrough of it, and I fell in love with it. So, of course, I had to buy it, and I had to play it. But, you know, you use these communities, these YouTube communities and creators to help you gauge that.
And that actually brings me to another more or less community, and that's the whole Let's Play community, or more the fans of the huge Let's Players like the bros from PewDiePie, or... I hate PewDiePie. I just want to say that. So the bros will hate me now. But also, like, Jacksepticeye is awesome. Carl Sagan is awesome. Markiplier is really awesome. I liked his, how he played Honey Pop or something.
Honey Pop, yeah.
Yeah, that was his best episode, hence on the table. that his humor, and especially how he hated that Neko girl. Oh my god!
I'll have to go. I didn't watch those ones. I'll have to go back and see.
Yeah. He makes so much fun with the dating sim and oh man. That's just hilarious. You should watch Honey Pop or however it was called. Unipop.
Like, I think we have to kind of give like a little bit of a shout out to these guys, because we have been and we kind of are trying our hand, you know, to create a little niche like YouTube channel for, you know, people who listen to this show and, you know, the birds. It's not easy. It's not like you have like, okay, so sitting down, playing the game, recording, easy. That's the best part of it. Like, hands down. Easiest part of the entire game experience. But then coming back through, and after having like an hour of recording, trimming that down to like the best moments, and like realizing you only have like 10 minutes of good content in there, on top of the fact of like the whole editing process itself. So for every hour you record, estimate it's going to take you about like 3 to 4 hours to edit and put it up.
Yep. And I also have to admit that coming up with stuff and talking at the same time while you're playing a game is not that easy, because focus on the game, focus on entertaining both at the same time is kind of difficult.
Yeah, especially when it's like, okay, so multiplayer games, it's a lot easier because you have people to bounce off of. But that's kind of why I've had trouble picking Owlboy back up after. So I have 3 episodes done. I've only uploaded 2. But like, it's because I'm just sitting there talking and I feel like I'm like the most boring person in the world when I'm talking. Because I've got nothing to bounce off of except whatever the content is on the screen.
Yeah, that's why I would prefer recording actual streams where you're interacting with... the community, Mr. Chat.
That's kind of why I like Battlegrounds, because, like, you know, we can get other people, other birds on board and, you know, playing Battlegrounds and talking to them.
Yeah, I saw that episode with Tweet's best game. Yeah. How he defeated the last 6 enemies and all alone.
Basically,
you are dead.
We all died. I died first, of course, naturally.
Oh, geez. Yeah, whenever you're doing a recording, if there's a group setting, it definitely is more fun, especially when it's a group, you know, good people, friends, birds, that you can chirp it off of and play off of each other, especially since, you know, for me, it's more fun when it's the first time everyone's playing the game, because then you all just suck together and you just bomb and die. You're like, what the fuck? And, you know, and just enjoy the game while you experience all this craziness for the first time. Especially when it's a really badly made game.
Sometimes the most badly made games are the best ones. Or there are games that, like, they're just... Their replay value is only, like, maybe a few hours, but their what-the-fuck value is just incredible. Like, Genital Jousting. Played that at a bachelorette party a little bit back. I like, got it for this bachelorette party, and we played it, and that was just, like, the most psychotically fun game, like, in the world at that time. And super gay.
But to come back to the fan base of the whole Let's Player and stuff, for PewDiePie has, like, a kind of toxic fan base, I get the feeling. Like, they are calling themselves the bros, and
they're being overly defensive?
Overly defensive to PewDiePie. I mean, I understand when people do not like PewDiePie because for reasons, how he acts and stuff, and he's so, PewDiePie! Like, oh god!
Yeah,
I can stand his cringy humor and stuff.
Yeah, you pin it right there.
Oh, God. It's the same, and I have a problem with almost all the German streamers, like Gronk and stuff. I get a feeling like, that they are
tough. Their target audience is younger. It's like, you know, the 12 to 15 demographic almost.
Yeah.
Exactly. Younger, less refined humor. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Definitely.
I mean, like I said, I like, for example, Jacksepticeye, and he's one of those screaming YouTubers, but it's somehow he can do it for some reason. I do not like all the screaming YouTubers.
Because he puts a limiter on his volume. So, like, when he screams, it caps.
Yeah, and he doesn't scream, like, the whole time and stuff. The only thing I criticize on him is that he somehow plays like an idiot and like annoying kind of idiot, like skipping important stuff and that thing. And when I think, like, why aren't you doing that?
That's an important element, though, because, like, otherwise, why would we want to buy the game if we can just watch, you know, entertainers play the game and get that same satisfaction? So if there's some element of, like, why didn't you do this? Now I need to get it so I can go do this. Like, feeling, that's a selling point.
Yeah, that may be something too. Yeah.
Probably why there isn't a whole lot of backlash against video games, you know, from the developers.
I mean, he sometimes skips tutorials and then he doesn't know what he does. And then you think, like, you get frustrated for him.
You get frustrated for him. Oh, God.
Yeah. So we've touched on anime, we've touched on gaming and gaming subcultures. What else do we want to?
Oh,
and mermaids.
I've got,
forget the mermaids.
I've got a big one, and this is big within both the furry community, but it's not just in the furry community, because it's sort of its own community in itself, and that is the otherkin / therian community.
Oh, I thought you were going to say bronies.
Oh yeah.
No, I saved the best for last, and bronies can very much be the best for last, let me tell you.
Oh, no.
But this is probably the second best. As some of you are aware, I am an otherkin. I believe you can use the term otherkin or therian interchangeably. Some people would rip my head off for saying that, but they are essentially very similar in meaning. So the community, it's... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I want to ask you just to kind of, like, straight up figure it out.
Okay.
Do you believe that you have the spirit of a griffin? Like, if your soul was to be wrenched from your earthly vessel by some violent force, it would be a griffin.
I went through, and the way I can answer that is I went through an awakening process when I was much younger, and I discovered a... form of storm that is feral in nature, and I do believe that to actually be a griffin spirit, a valid griffin spirit. So yes, I do believe I have the spirit of storm within me. Okay. If you want to think I'm insane, hey, no. That's totally
okay,
fine.
So
I appreciate that.
the reason I asked it that way is because that is the greater perception of otherkin, and you know that, and that it's people who truly believe that their spirit is this. And I don't disrespect that. You know, it's personal. It's a very personal thing. But I phrased it that way to, I guess, put you on the defensive. And you didn't even go to the defensive. You went straight honesty, which is kudos to you.
Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate that. You got to realize I've heard it all. I've heard it all. Hell, I even told my parents this shit. I don't care. I'm very open about this. And literally, if you think I'm nuts, great. But with the otherkin community as a whole, here's my experiences with it, and the good and the bad. All right. The good is that they are very good at sharing the awakening experience, sharing them, you know, well, how do you find memories? Well, why don't you have memories? And the quick answer to that, if anyone wants to know, is you'll get memories in time if you're meant to have them. You can't force them, and you can't force yourself to learn about your inner spirit until you take the right steps to acquire that information, and it may never, ever happen. It took me a long time to discover Storm's name. It took me a long time to discover the memories he has. It's really cool, though, when you meet other kin that have memories that attach onto yours that help paint a bigger picture. That's pretty neat. But the community at large in that aspect can be very supportive, very almost like a weird family, because we're all sort of interconnected. And I love that aspect about the community. What's insane about it is some people take their kin and get so attached and almost obsessive to it that they would rather live in their kin's world than live in the human world. And so they end up being like this creepy guy that lives in their parents' basement that never wants to leave. And when you meet
these people...
The people
who obsess over lucid dreaming kind of thing.
Yeah, and when you meet these people, I try to be very respectful and positive, and I try to say, listen, if all the kin tomorrow could take a magic pill and we could be our characters and humans would be kosher with it and kumbaya, great. But unfortunately, you're in a human body right now, and you got to make it work in this world, and that's just the way it is. And they just can't accept that. And as a result, they really struggle to function in society. They struggle to network themselves outside of being in front of a PC where they can just role play their character or their kin spirit, how they believe their kin spirit would act 24/7.
Right.
And it ends up being to their detriment. So,
I take this concept of, other spirituality sort of thing, your other spirit, can I take that and can I reach out and grab the very far-reaching Starseed Children, Indigo Children? Have you heard of these?
I actually have not, so please educate me.
Okay. So, and I have... It's difficult to remain respectful. I try. Forgive me if I step on toes. I try to be understanding, but I have a certain world concept that is not shared. Disclaimers aside, Starseed Children, Indigo Children, they are people who believe that their soul, that their very core being, originated from a different planet in a different galaxy entirely, possibly even different universe. And they believe that their star, or, dust felt like, I don't know, I've done some research, but then I got too weird out. But they believe that somehow their spirit arrived here on Earth and embodied a yet-to-be-born child.
That doesn't sound very different from the typical religion we are, like Christianity or...
There's not some significant difference. So,
well, many dragonkin, by the way, just while it's on my mind, believe that their kin spirits came from a different plane, and that it's very similar to Earth, but on their plane, obviously the existence is different in that you have, a dragon society, et cetera, et cetera. But that because the planes crossed, that's how the spirits entered our world. So it's kind of interesting you're touching on this, because I've heard something very similar. Please continue.
These Indigo Children, they're not even connected to the fandom at all, is the thing. Like, it's its own entirely separate form of other kin, spirit thing.
To be honest, the whole Therian, Otherkin, and Starchild, and whatever things, they all sound not crazier than any religion that's common. That's all, if you think about it, that's all pretty much like giant fandoms that people take too serious.
I agree.
Fleeks, you're spot on. I mean, literally, if someone comes to me and starts attacking me, and I'll let them have fun for a few minutes, and then I'll say, okay, it's like this, buddy. If you can believe that there's a big man upstairs that created the planet, created all the animals on it, created you and I, kosher, awesome. But if you can believe that and be happy with it and have peace and joy in your life, I should be able to believe that I'm a bird kitty squawky bastard that goes and is a pain in the ass to everyone. It should be totally allowed.
By the way, what's your Bible, Sona?
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Technically, just,
this is
stars,
less of a we're talking about fandoms and we're just going to offend every other fandom in the world episode. No, but legitimately, yeah, there is an essence of spirituality in all of this, even in the furry fandom. Like, you know, maybe you personally are unreligious, agnostic, atheist, whatever, in this fandom, but you still have some part of you that is reaching out for some sort of, I don't even want to say higher power, but some sort of connection to stuff that you can't understand, or, you know, that you are not, that is not part of this physical world. I mean, you're sitting here on the internet pretending to be an animal person. Like, there's obviously that element in there.
Right.
It doesn't, it's not restricted to religion in any sense.
We really should make an episode about the whole spirituality thing. I bet we can fill 1.5 hours with that.
I agree. And frankly, I would like to do an entire episode on just Therians in general. So maybe I can learn a little bit more. Maybe Storm can talk about it. Maybe we can get some other guest on the show as well to help talk about it, and they can bounce off each other.
Oh, yeah.
This is a very spread episode. In fact, that we're talking about a whole bunch of different fandoms in one.
Okay.
By the way, okay, to anyone listening, if you have any questions related to other kin or Therian that you would like me to answer, send an email to beep@bird.life or tweet us at birdlifepodcast. I'll happily let you pick my mind. I'm an open book. I've heard it all. I don't care what you ask me. Really, I'm an open fucking book. Just roll with it.
Okay, one thing I wanted to talk about is also all, because we have fandoms, but there's also this obnoxious group of people who are, let's name it, the haters, the anti-fans, you know, like the ones that like hate about everything what's somehow trend and whatnot, you know what I mean?
Whatever you create, there will always be someone who is against it.
I'll tell you what's the weirdest, Fleeks, and I know you may tell me if you believe this, okay? Within kin, all right, and you mentioned haters. That's the only reason I'm bringing this up. There's a group of kin whose sole existence, I swear, is to hate humans. I shit you not.
Well, misanthropes are not rare,
and just like in any religious spirituality or other, you know, far like inner sense of self being, hatred doesn't belong there, man. It doesn't. There's no reason you should be hating on someone else because their perspective of it is different than yours. Unless they are being physically violent or offensive, there's no reason to be hateful towards someone else.
The problem are just that there are really people who are hating just for the sake of hating because they have fun. That they have some kind of, I don't know.
Hatred makes them happy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I can hate on people, I can troll them, and if I hurt them, that makes me feel great. I don't know. I can't understand the concept. Yeah,
Fleeks,
Storm.
You're touching on what is one of the best topics for fandoms. You really are. You're talking about haters, right? So let's just spread out for a minute. And let's talk about drama llamas, because this might as well be its own fucking fandom. It really might as well. All these fuckers do is they go around, whether it's our little squawky community or, you know, if you're a NASCAR fan, I don't give a shit if you're a fan of fursuits, whatever. Their sole goal in life is to cause people to bitch. And I don't know what the fuck it is with these people, but literally they thrive on this shit. And how the hell, as a person, are you raised to thrive on causing drama? There's no satisfaction in the long run. It makes you only more hollow on the inside.
We are a product of our own upbringing. So if you're raised in an environment where your form of self-defense was to be critical of others, or if you find, like, you know, you watch... how do you put it? I don't know. You watch television shows that, you know, they are critical and pick other people apart, and you learn that that's one method of gaining power over other people is by
Jerry
is by injecting your own opinion and flipping their worldviews on their head to cause them to have a negative response to you, and then you feed off that attention.
Yeah.
It's all about how you were raised and what your upbringing was.
Yeah, it's always...
That can't have been a very happy childhood.
Oh, maybe really, it was. Yeah. Like, maybe it didn't completely suck because, like, you know, that's just how your parents were. Like, you know, gossipy kind of type thing. You know, you talk shit about someone behind their back and you say negative things like, this person sucks because they do this. You know, it's, you're not immediately harming someone, but you are forming a habit that becomes kind of ingrained into you. Make sense? And then that habit, you just find a way of deriving pleasure from.
Yeah.
There definitely is a large segment of the population that is into the gossip and the daytime television shows and whatnot. Definitely feed into that. Reality TV definitely feeds into that. But I'm of the opinion that the drama llamas in general don't really provide much for society. Maybe people disagree with me.
No, that's just it. They don't. They don't really provide any beneficial anything.
Yeah.
And I'm not a psychologist, so I can't really, you know, pick them. Like, I can't pick someone's brain and tell, like, you why they're doing this, the reason why they're doing this, without having just some broad generalization.
Yeah, the problem is that everybody's, if you go with psychologists' theories, you can't, every human is different, and there are so many factors you can't even really tell if they're just like totally dumb, or if they were raised wrong, or if they have some very kind, have some kind of very screwed humor, or if they are trolls and sadists, or it can have so many reasons.
Since we're still talking about communities, I think a sense of community also draws this quality out in people, depending on what kind of community you discover. So, I'm going to do something kind of risky, and I'm going to speak out a little bit against 4chan. Specifically / B. Yeah, I know. We're gonna get raided this week, guys. Oh, buckle up.
Oh, God.
No, I don't think so.
But no, like, if you are a part of this community of, you know, anonymous individuals, you are saying whatever the hell comes to your mind, and people are making fun of you for it, or they're agreeing with you for it and feeding you further. Point is, you're getting attention for your opinion, and you use that attention to refine your opinion and get people to agree with you. And suddenly you have this circle of a population of people who all have this similar mindset on these subjects. And this is not just 4chan. This is Reddit. This is every forum you've ever been to. Has one form or another a circle that has formed of people who see things one way, and their way is the true way because they all agree with each other.
Yeah.
And that kind of mindset you fall into, then you join a new community and you become a part of that community, and you realize all these other people have a completely different mindset. And how do you respond? You go back to your defense mechanisms.
Mm. We haven't talked about the bronies yet.
And we are...
Yeah. But we also have the questions to answer from our listeners, so...
Well, I don't think bronies will take very long. I really don't. Because I'm going to sum it up. I live with a brony. So as some of you have heard, Drezel, my assistant dragon that fills in for me when my union dictates I have to take a vacation. He is a hardcore brony. We have My Little Pony items located throughout our nest, in his wallet, on his clothing, in his socks. It's just ridiculous.
There's
and,
glitter in the food.
It's just absolutely fucking over the top. And bronies can be wonderful people. They really can. They're fun. They have some very good sense of humor. Most of the ones I've actually met at cons, they really do. And they really can get into their characters and kind of take a character from the show and put their spin on it, which is nice.
That's exactly why it's a subset of the furry fandom.
Yeah, I won't say... Go ahead.
The problem with bronies is that they are practically dependent on Hasbro, and that this community is based on a show, and so dictated by a huge company, and that somehow, I mean, I can understand that people do their pony characters, and but because character creation is just fun, I think it doesn't play a role what fandom, if you can create a character, it's just fun. But generally, the brony fandom would be nothing for me, because I would feel kind of... give me the word for it. I would feel kind of...
Uncomfortable?
Constrained?
No. Constrained, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Constrained in my creativity.
Right. Understand.
Restricted, yeah.
Well, but the thing I've seen that people have taken Equestria and went after making their own characters and such, and... both in terms of just general story writing, adult story writing, you name it, put their own spin on it to make it almost their own thing. And you cannot sit here and tell me, after I stomached a few episodes of the show, that Hasbro is not at all appealing to these people, because I believe their writers absolutely fucking are, with the way they sprinkle in adult humor and whatnot within the show. It is absolutely not just a kids show. They are very much appealing to this.
They have realized they have a second target audience who is giving them lots of money for what they do. So yeah, of course they're going to cash in on that. And
yeah.
I think it was probably around 2011-ish that the revitalized My Little Pony came out, and there was just so much hatred going towards this new fandom. And, you know, I initially, you know, I started out very creeped out by it. You know, these are adult, generally men, who are investing their time, money, and lives into a children's show meant for little girls. It was, and still is, a bit uncomfortable to me, but exposure, action, I guess, has left me a little more accepting, or jaded, however you want to see it.
The show is actually pretty decent, especially the first season was good, because it was by the same creator as
Powerpuff Girls.
Producer by, yeah, like Powerpuff Girls. And so you felt that kind
of... You know what? I agree. And that's the point I was trying to get to, so sorry for just cutting you off there. I have watched the first season of it, and this was back when it, you know, kind of originally came out. I watched it. It was a good show, but, you know, for me personally, watching it felt really kind of gross and uncomfortable. But that's me.
I had to have some alcohol to get into it, but after sitting through it, I was like, you know what, that's actually not that bad. And some of the episodes, the way they sprinkled the humor in and structured things with the innuendos sprinkled within, it's like, okay, some of this writing actually is kind of funny. So I can see the appeal. I can see the appeal of making your own character to fit within the universe. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in a way. I mean, it's no different than what anime fans do with their own shows to an extent.
And the Yaoi and the Yuri. Hey, we're back. We've gone full circle.
So there you go.
I just would say that it is a decent cartoon, but there are way better cartoons, kid cartoons, like, for example, Fairly Odd Parents or similar, like I really enjoy and stuff, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, there are stuff that I would definitely prefer over My Little Pony.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, what questions do we have?
All right. First question comes from Avian King. The question is, okay, so what do you think of the Therian community / fandom? Do you think the Avian fandom should be held above the mammalian portion?
Absolutely.
Dogs? Okay, so that's, so we actually asked two questions. All right. I already answered the Therian community question. I think it's awesome and a little crazy. And I'm part of it. So if I'm saying it's a little awesome and crazy, that should tell you something. What do you guys think?
Not my cup of tea. Not my world.
All right. What about you, Cor, if you could sum it up?
That's more of a spirituality sort of thing. And that's, it doesn't really fall in line with my beliefs. So I respect it, but don't really have any opinion one way or the other.
Okay. Second part of the question is, do you think the Avian fandom should be held above the mammalian portion? Sparkle Dogs, etc. And, Cord, you said yes. What about you, Fleeks?
Do you want my serious or my unserious answer?
Serious.
Just give both.
No, I don't think that we should held any fandom over the other fandom. I mean, we could create a sub community. We could make our own con, I believe in that, and it would be a great con, but we could never separate the Avian fandom from the furry fandom.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't be able to separate it from it, but they're asking us if we should hold it in higher esteem. And
of course.
I think yes, we should definitely hold our little sub community in higher esteem than the rest of the. I think we actually
because
do, if I'm honest with you, with the way that. With the way that the bird crew behaves, with how we interact with each other, very polite, very respectful, very little friction ever, and we're very open to listening to whatever comes across our plate. I think one of the most amazing things is that we have arguments, very real, topical, hot arguments in Bird Crew that rarely turn to name calling or derogatory. They're respectful. They're proper debates.
But that doesn't happen
in any other online community that I've ever seen.
But I think that's also some kind of result of our relatively strict rules and good rules, I would say, because we have some rules that prevent that stuff from happening, I hope.
It's true. One of the rules itself is, be mature. Don't be a kid about it. If you're acting like a kid, you're either going to walk yourself out the door or you're going to get walked out the door kind of thing. So maybe it is just our little community. But overall, birds, we should hold ourselves in higher esteem. We are above.
Especially we are above because we can fly.
Oh, God. Really, Fleeks?
Well, he said it. I was going to say
We are literally above.
So we should act like it, goddammit.
No, I love the furry. I really love the furry community, and I don't think I'm better than all my hyena, fuzzbat, canine, feline, reptile, dragon friends, all this stuff,
Fleeks doesn't.
That's it.
Really?
I know for certain personally... I'm better than dragons.
Oh, I agree. We're all 100% better than dragons. This isn't up for debate.
I think we can sit down and have good conversations with cats, dogs, and felines, and maybe even foxes, but, we're better than dragons, for sure.
Okay, go to the next question, Storm.
My answer is yes, we are very much above the mammalian portion. Just simple as that. We have wings, we can fly, and even those of us that can't fly, well, we just look damn sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, next question comes from Damien Dragonlover. Brace yourself, this guy's weird. I know him personally. Love you, Damien. Question is, if you had to vote for which of you becomes a tasty treat for an Australian dragon, who would you vote for?
You said you know him, Storm?
Yes.
Storm.
No. No. I would tell him to go eat himself.
I agree. I like that answer.
If that's an option, then yeah, well, that's a good...
There's four parties involved. Fleeks, Kor, Storm, and the dragon. The dragon's less than all of us, so obviously the dragon can go itself.
Okay, I thought more about if we send Storm, Storm could talk him out of that, and also Storm is stronger, I think, his character at least.
And I guess in the very least, Storm would be most likely to make him choke to death.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's true, I am a lot bigger.
But no, I wouldn't send you, Storm. Dragon can go away. I just gave you my opinion of dragons. Go. Shoo, what are you even doing here? Why? This is a podcast for birds.
Now, what the fuck are you doing here, dragon? Why are you spying on us? Don't make us come. We will use our secret weapon on you.
This is proprietary information we're talking about here. Go away.
Next question comes from El Fidi, and the question is...
He's Spanish
what
now?
What do you...
Yeah, he's Spanish now, official.
Okie dokie.
What do you like the most about the avian fandom? What not? And what do you think about the dragon and brony fandom? Well, we already touched on the brony and dragon fandom to an extent, so let's talk about the avian fandom. What do we like about the avian fandom, and what do we not like about it?
That it's like an... give me a second. An amplified... furry fandom towards the positive and good things, because I can really get the feeling like avians are even heart warmer, they have more warmth in their how they're interacting and stuff compared to furries. I mean, furries are already super adorable and stuff and super good friends and stuff, but I feel like in the avian fandom it's even amplified, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I think yeah, you can, yeah,
it's like you
oh,
get...
I agree.
You get the feeling of warmth, acceptance, and, you know, still good sense of community that you get at conventions, but in a chat room. Make sense?
I concur. I think the avian fandom as a whole is some of the most heartfelt, open, warm, just loving people I've ever met in my life. They're just happy to meet you. They're happy to chirp with you. They're happy to bring you into the flock, show you the ways of the chirp. And we're just happy to see you. We really are. Other members of the furry community in general, when I went in there, I didn't feel as open or welcomed. It felt more cliquish. And that's what
I love.
Well,
one could argue that we're just one massive clique.
Oh, well, if that's the case, then we're the best clique. Bye. What I don't like about the avian fandom is, well, the bird poop. That's about it.
And yet he's the one who's always talking about it.
That's why I like using it as weapons. It's an asset.
I will
he
say
had
this.
To do that. He had to do that, Kor. He had to do that.
I think he did, yeah. I will say this. When I kind of became a part of this greater community, I didn't expect, and I should have, but I didn't expect there to be, like, such an obsession with oviposition.
No comment. Sorry. But I do not... That we do not have cons yet.
Okay.
It's coming. Brace
eventually.
Yourself.
I mean, okay,
next
so
question.
In all seriousness, like... I don't have anything against oviposition. I'm not personally into it, but like I can see the appeal of, I'll just say what it is, shoving things up people's butts. I can see the appeal of that, but it was kind of an unexpected thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of birds are birds because they like that kind of stuff. I'm also not too deep into it, and I think the people mostly just love to make jokes with it, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't think that so many people are seriously deep into oviposition. They're just it's a bird thing, you know?
I think there's a few people who have it on their list of fetishes. Of course.
Without prompting, I might add, I have seen birds do some things behind closed doors that would lead me to firmly state that there is a large segment of our chirpy population that likes eggs going both in and out of the rump.
Yeah, yeah, I saw them too. I saw those people. I not saw them, but I heard about it. I mean, they even
the things we have witnessed.
presented their gelatin eggs and stuff in
the
blood crew and stuff. So yeah, I saw all the things.
Next question comes from El Avian Sir King, and the question is: do any of you have avian pets or desire to own avian pets?
Didn't we had that question already like 2 times?
A while back.
It was a while back. I have a, at my mother's house, I have a Nande Conure, very sweet bird that has mood swings that will rip your finger off when it's having a mood swing. But aside from that, very sweet, will come, chirp on you, fall asleep on you, and just love it to death. As a general rule of thumb, though, I'm not really in favor of having birds as pets. Now, it's one thing that, like mine, they're injured, and you're bringing them in because they can't survive in the wild in general because of the injury. Okay, you know, you're giving them a second chance, but I don't know. Birds as pets, eh. Not sure if that's too kosher. But then again, the same thing, I guess, can be said of any real pets, like, you know, a fish or a turtle or any of that, really. You're taking it out of its natural environment.
It's true. I'm kind of on the same page. Like, I think birds should be, you know, free to fly. I will say that in the past 3 days, I have unintentionally become the adoptive paternal figure of 2 woodpeckers. And they're a pain in the ass, man. Like, okay, so they're old enough that they're trying to fly, and try they are. They have been egging each other and pushing each other out of the nest, like, constantly. So they're not quite to the point they can fly yet. So I will take it, I'll make sure it's uninjured, and then I will stick it on the end of a broom, have it grab onto the little grass, the little flanges of a broom. I don't remember what they're called right now. And then I will hoist it back up and shove it into its nest again. Only for it to fall out, like, less than an hour later. And this has gone on for 3 days. They don't even care when I go out and try to pick them up anymore. They look at me like, can I go back, please? And I'm like, fuck, why not?
I got a feeling Cor's becoming a daddy. Oh.
At this point, I think I am just actively intervening with natural selection, and that might be a problem.
Coming soon to bird.life, Cor has woodpeckers as pets.
Probably. And you know what? Here's the thing. Like, here's the funniest thing in the entire of all of this. Like, the parents, you know, when they were still, like, you know, hatchlings and nestlings and whatnot, the parents were very defensive, did not like us going near that side of the house at all. And now that they're, like, falling out and, like, we've been shoving them back up in the nest again, the parents are, like, 100% chill with us. They don't care. Like, they'll land on the tree right next to us as we're holding their child and, you know, sticking it on a broom and shoving it back in the nest. They're just sitting there watching us.
Good humans. We trained you well.
Pretty much. Plus one for Birdania.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, the next question comes from Eclipse Griffin. And the question is, what is the oddest fandom crossover that you have witnessed in some way or have been part of? That is to say, stormtroopers appearing at a Ren fair, or fursuits of an anthro Doctor Who or the like.
The weirdest crossover I saw, it were actually furries, but I think it's worth a mention, is at the Eurofurns with the topic Hawaii, there were a group of Magnums that walked around with the Magnum theme on a subwoofer, on a blaster, you know what I mean? Magnum, do you know that serious Magnum? No. What? He was a hero.
Oh, Magnum P.I.?
I think Magnum P.I. It was just called Magnum in Germany. Well, give me a second. Yeah, that guy that always has the Hawaiian shirt.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, and they walked around with the theme of that. And after a while, he had like a following, a huge, and the one guy with the blaster. Ghetto Blaster, okay. That's the word I looked for, the Ghetto Blaster, and yeah, he really looked like Tom Selleck.
If you go to any of the Comic-Cons, like, you'll see, like, these really weird random crossovers happening, like, what's a good one I can think of right now? Anybody who wears Ghostbusters get up. Like, you'll see, like, an entirely different genre from an entirely different series of movies wearing, like, Ghostbusters getup. And that's, like, common.
Yes. The weirdest I've seen, though, is two things. And this happens at some of the furry cons by me. First things at a furry con that happens once a year is the Klingons invade furry bowling.
Okay.
And we have a bowling competition to see who's better. But the weirdest I've ever seen was at a smaller meetup when we had furries versus college frat kids.
Oh, no.
And this happened at Eddie FurCon, and it turned into a drinking competition as to who could drink better. And that went on for over 3 hours. It ended up in a truce.
Fair enough.
Oh, man.
I do remember one local fur meet I went to a few years back. It was held in a very large park. And so we had our little meetup group happening. But, like, down the way just a little bit, there was a LARPing group. And about, like, you know, an hour into our meet, like, all of the dragon furries, like, there were, like, 6 or 7 of them in suit, went running over to the LARPing group and started attacking the LARPers. That was pretty great.
Yeah. Oh, the LARPers, yeah, were a group we did not talk about, but they... Yeah, we don't go into it. We would take way too long. But also a crossover I saw on the internet, I did not see myself in real, but that was Toriel from Undertale with Batman, that she had Batman on her lap, and that was kind of Goat Mama and Batman. That's a side that I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah, you, like I said with the Ghostbusters thing, there's just these weird crossovers that are just like, okay, I guess that's happening now.
Yeah, that sums it up. It really does.
Not quite.
Oh, no.
Would you rather have a beautiful bird call but have terrible looking plumage, or have beautiful plumage but a terrible bird call? And that question comes again from Recti.
Would you rather be a brony or a candy corn demon?
Brony.
Okay, brony.
You know what I'm gonna say as well, brony. Fuck the candy corn demons, man.
As for the plumage, I'd rather have the beautiful. I think I would rather have the beautiful voice, because plumage you can get taken care of when you get enough money.
Since I have no money, I take the terrible bird call, because who cares about... I mean, I can't even make a terrible bird call good, I guess, when I do it right. So, and I don't need money for that, so...
Well,
beautiful, okay. Plumage is this.
I'm already beautiful, and my voice is gorgeous. I just got the best of both worlds. No, okay. I think I would go with the voice myself. The better call. There's some pretty damn ugly birds out there, but they have really beautiful songs.
So when we're going out together, after this happens to us, I will attract all the the dates practically. I will pick up all the other birds, and you will be there and just doing voice things. You would behind a wall, be behind a wall.
You just keep me behind a curtain the entire time and just like shove a microphone in there. Hi guys, I'm Cor Raven. How's it going?
And then all I got to do is just walk out on stage, and all the hens will come running up to me and going, "Oh, look, it's Stormy."
Okay.
That being said, thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoy this show and you want to help us out, feel free to check out our Patreon. We really appreciate it. If you become a patron, you get access to extra content. Fleeks is working on a comic. I'm working on my own mini series as well. As of yet to have an episode 3 Bird Life News, which I'm sure we'll get around to eventually. Right, guys?
Yeah.
Yes. We keep talking about it.
At the moment, I'm selling the official Birdania shirt in my... I do not have a shop, but you can pre-order it.
It's
and you
not
will
on
find...
his T-Pecker yet.
No, it's not on my T-Pecker, but you can pre-order it and pre-order it. And you can find the link on my Twitter.
The link will be included in the description below. Don't worry. I'll include it.
Oh, yeah. You can do that, too.
Yeah.
That's genius. And score. What would I do without you?
The miracles of the internet and hyperlinking.
Oh, okay. My God.
And I would also want to take this time to announce that I'm going to be doing something from the Patreon that involves Chirps with Storm, which is going to be me traveling around and interviewing various members of our community and putting their video on the chat. So if you want to go ahead and...
On the chat or on YouTube?
On the YouTube for the Patreon, and I'll put some on the chat as well.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And remember, always be beeping.
Always be beeping, Squam Fat.
What?
Fem Squam.
I don't even know.
I said Squam Fat. I ruined it. Oh my God.
Right.
Always chirp.
This is episode 32 of Bird Life. I'm Cor Raven.
Episode...
Oh, I'm interrupting Fleeks. Constantly.
I'm sorry. I wanted to comment on that. Let's start it again and save it for the bloopers. Okay, again, Cor.
This is episode 33.
What episode?
33 of Bird Life. I'm Cor. Episode 32 was there, but we skipped it. You were there for that part.
Fleeks is I.
And I am Storm the Union Griffin. And I like to go ahead and apologize to everyone listening to the show right now, because everything you just heard was clearly a breach of some union contract they forgot they signed.
Okay, let's put in the contract, do not interrupt Cor. And since you asked it beforehand... I'm sure Storm has a few.
He's just lost in the ether somewhere. He fell out of space. A star child kidnapped him.
Just one second, guys, and I'll be ready. Just 1 minute.
The desync is killing me, man.
Yeah.
Anyways.